Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker at kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to The Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the famous Joe Dodds.
Hello.
Hello, right. Joe. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And you?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks. And we've also got little Doddsy, Ellie. Hello, Ellie.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm all right.
Good.
Very excited.
Yes,
very
excited. I haven't seen you for ages, Ellie, and I blew you out on Valentine's Day as well, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah,
He had place names and everything, didn't he? We had a seating plan and everything, and he didn't come, did he? Don't you remember?
Yeah.
Little hearts. Oh, she doesn't remember.
No,
see?
No, no.
It's so fleeting.
She's over it. She's so over it already.
Absolutely.
Anyway, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
And there's no snow.
There's no snow for a change. Yeah, and Jonathan got here without using the snowplow at all.
Exactly.
Which is brilliant. We've got a fantastic lineup of guests for you today. But as always, we want to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. So do please give us a tweet by following me at Vanilla Web and tweeting. Or you can email us at bunker at kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Or if you're feeling particularly adventurous, you can call us on 01303 874 998. We'd love to hear from you. So do get in touch one way or another. We've had loads of tweets, loads of emails and all kinds of stuff going on. So I think we'll kick off and read some news there, Joe.
Cool. Okay, I've got new author coffee mornings. Local Kent author Miles Allen is running the first of a new style of coffee morning for beginners who'd like to see if they could write. Miles runs his own publishing company and specialises in helping novice writers from start to publication and beyond. And you don't need more than a normal understanding of English. So, Paul, you might be able to go.
Do you reckon?
Well, actually, I've never heard the word normal and Paul Andrews in the same sentence either, so maybe not. See, it's started already.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
It's going to be friendly and enjoyable. It's £12.50 per head.
Unlike this show, then.
What, enjoyable?
Yeah, or friendly.
Or friendly, yeah, good point. £12.50 a head and includes teas and coffees. And to book, you need to send an email to bookings@milesallen.net. That's A-L-L-E-N. Or you can go to milesallen.net and click on the new author coffee mornings tab. So it's Wednesday the 3rd of April, 10 till 11.30 at the King's Arms in Boxley.
Sounds good. I'm doing some work on that as a new thing for the show. It's kind of in progress at the moment, but I've been approached by lots of people locally, and we're going to talk to someone a bit later on the show today that's done some writing as well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of very talented business authors in Kent at the moment, so we're looking at having a kind of local author slot on the show longer term. So that's interesting.
Cool. Well, we did that already, of course, with our erotic fiction, but I'm not sure that's what you mean, is it?
Erotic fiction.
I remember Jilly Tipping.
Yeah. No,
and
we had our,
because we've got to do our radio play of that yet, haven't we? Because we cast it, didn't we, while we were on the radio?
That is very true, yeah. That all went quiet, didn't it? I guess I didn't get the part.
Funnily enough,
yeah.
I've got a Kent Business tweet up. It says, make a date for our pop-up tweet up. Please join us at this free networking event and do share with your contacts. It's Thursday the 11th of April from 5 till 7 in the evening at the Anne Robertson Centre. Which I guess is in Canterbury.
Oh, yeah, that's Pilgrim's Hospice, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So you can email wendy.kelk, K-E-L-K, at pilgrimshospices.org. And there's a website which must tell you where it is, I guess, annrobertsoncentre.org.
There's everything you hear on the show will be on the Business Bunker website later, but community organisations such as Pilgrim's Hospice now have their own page on the website. It's called Events, just to throw you.
Let's not make it too easy. We have to get this working.
I need people to pay attention to this. No, under Events, we list all the upcoming events, plus all the community websites in general. So there's two lists there. Mm-hmm. There's a rolling list of what's happening over the next month in terms of tweet ups, charity fundraisers, blah, 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 all the type of events that are happening. And then there's a list of the websites of all the community kind of organisations that regularly interact with us.
That sounds very organised and very sort of professional.
I know.
A lot changes when I'm not here for a few weeks, doesn't it?
I know.
It? It's very good, isn't
it? I know.
It?
It's only taken me 3 years to do it, mind.
Well, yeah, let's not tell them that bit.
Yeah.
So we have another one, and Little Dodsy thought she might read it, if that's okay
with you.
Oh, go
for it. Go for it, Ellie.
I'm just going to put it on my lap. Hang on. And you have to do it into there.
I have to warn you, listeners, this is how we read all the emails. When it's not Ellie, I have to go and sit on Joe's lap and read them as well.
Right, go on then.
All three freedom leisure centres
sites
in Kent are running children Easter activities from 2nd to 12th of April. Book half day.
She's got all nervous now. Half, she's much better earlier.
Half day, full day for every day.
Or every day.
The choice is yours. Available at Three Hills Sport Park, Folkestone.
That's Three Hills Sports Park in Folkestone.
Sandwich Sports and Leisure Centre.
And a hard one, Aylsham Welfare Leisure Centre.
Email me for more
info.
Info at
Emma.
Emma.
Dot Santa.
At freedom.
Leisure.co.uk. That's a joint effort there. So
hey,
it's Emma.
Well done. That is brilliant.
So it's Emma.Santa, S-A-N-T-E-R, at freedom-leisure.co.uk. So that's the 2nd to the 12th of April. You can have half days, full days, or every day in Folkestone, Sandwich, or Aylsham.
Ellie, that was brilliant. And you helped your mum with that. No end. She really needed that.
Thank you.
That was superb. Superbly read. Thank you. I've got some tweets coming in now. We've got the Hunting Edge who are listening in. And Hunting Edge are a fairly newly launched e-commerce site for people involved in country pursuits. Hunting, fishing, shooting, clothing and stuff like that. It's the Hunting Edge, all one word, .co.uk if you want to check out their website. So do have a look. And thank you for listening, guys. I also want to mention, because they've been tweeting a little bit, I'm paying my first visit to the Jardine restaurant in Cranbrook this Thursday evening.
Ooh, sounds nice.
Yep, so I'll give you a full report on that when I get back, but I'm looking forward to that on Thursday evening. And we've also had a tweet from Jello Consultancy to say hello. Angela Bryer Stevenson, who is listening in live. Hello, Angela. Thank you for joining the show.
She says hi to Little Dodsy, but then Peter from Hawkeye has come on the tweets, and he hasn't actually said hello to Little Dodsy, and he knows her, so she'll be very upset.
Peter, I would have thought better of you, Peter. I met Peter on last Thursday night at the Spitfire Pub in Kings Hill as well. We had an event there, a tweet up, a Kent Creative tweet up, which was very good.
Was he flying his planes or anything? He's got such a cool job.
Don't get started on that. Last week I started mentioning helicopters and planes, and I got told off no end about having the wrong information. So don't go there.
Why? Well, I know what he does.
He does aerial photography.
He has cameras on the end of a stick. I don't think that's the technical term, but he does.
Yeah.
And then he has remote control planes that he flies with a camera on them.
Yeah, exactly.
And because he once gave a prize to my customers at my Christmas party, and it was to take an aerial photo of one of their houses. And
excellent.
Ironically, I just hit my microphone, sorry.
Don't smash the studio up, Joe, why don't you?
Ironically, it was Turia Foster, who now owns the Hythe Handbook, who won it.
Really?
I believe. Yes. So there we go.
Next week on Soap.
But Peter's funny, because I've known him for years, and every so often we just bump into each other at random places.
Really?
Yeah. But don't tell Dodsy. Don't tell Daddy, little
yeah,
Dodsy.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. We've had a tweet from Tracy Ryder Richardson of the Buggy Workout. That's their Twitter handle, at Buggy Workout. Thank you for joining us.
Is she related to the famous Ryder Richardson?
Oh, I would imagine so.
Probably.
Yeah, must be, really. And also Lee. Hi, Paul. There's an Easter egg treasure hunt at Aylesford Priory on Sunday the 31st from 11 a.m. It's only a pound, and there are kiddie rides and cupcakes. So that's Aylesford Priory, at Aylesford, obviously, on Easter Sunday the 31st. Easter egg treasure hunt, pound. Can't be bad. Get along to that.
She also says that John Barber had his nose done. What does that
I
mean?
Know. I saw that.
Done what? Done with what? What
well,
to it?
Yeah, but done. I think you missed the earlier tweet. There was an earlier tweet, and I'm going to read it in a minute. But I actually queried this, but she didn't reply to me.
I was thinking it's a bit like when you had your thing done.
Yeah, well, my thing done.
Your chest.
All right, okay. You had me worried there. I wondered what you'd been
that's
doing.
That's a different story. That wasn't
exactly
on the radio.
Yeah. The tweet that preceded the one that you've just read out was, yeah. Waxathon went very well in Folkestone. John Barber, TC manager, that's town centre, I guess, had his nose done. What a brave man. Now, I tweeted her back and said, what, he had his nose waxed? And she hasn't replied. And I, to be quite frank, if I'd had my nose waxed, I don't think I'd reply for a while either. So
no.
I can't even begin to contemplate how you'd have that done.
Ooh, especially as you have experienced it. Did you contact Chris Evans when they were getting his Vassoffs to do? What did he? He was going to have his...
He was going to have something waxed, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then he had his leg in the end because he was too scared to... Oh, it was his underarm, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was his armpit,
wasn't
it?
Yeah,
when, whatever her name was doing the underarms.
Yeah.
And he bottled it and just had his leg done in the end. And I thought you'd probably called him and told him, do you know how bad it was on the chest? Never mind the underarm.
I have to say, you know, I still cry at nights thinking about it.
I still laugh about when Penny Williams and I turned up at your, was it South... Kent Business Show, the one at Gatwick, what's that called?
Yeah.
South East Business Show, and we asked you how your chest was, and right in the middle of reception, you started unbuttoning your shirt. I thought we were just going to get a little peek, and you literally just, like, flung your shirt open, and all
absolutely.
These people were coming into the show and didn't know what we were doing, and thought it was all a bit strange.
What was the point in going through all that pain to have my chest and back completely defoliated,
and then
only for
anyone.
No one to not see it? Well, you know...
Yeah, plucked chicken, listener.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We raised £1,000 for that. You get a look at least. I've also had a tweet about a special offer in the Pilgrims Hall restaurant. A two-course meal for £20 or a three-course meal for £25. If you'd like to book that, it's in Maidstone at the Pilgrims Hall restaurant, which is at Alsford Priory, and the phone number is Maidstone, which is 01622 717272. So if you'd like to book a meal for two course meal, £20, three course meal £25. I've eaten there. I had the seven course meal, which is why I'm on a diet now. I had a seven course meal there. It was superb, and it's a fantastic setting. If you haven't been to the Priory there, it's an absolutely gorgeous setting, and the restaurant is in a medieval hall, and
wow.
It is stonking.
That sounds really good. I bet they're pleased that you said that it was for two courses as opposed to for two people, because that would have been a completely different price.
Yeah, that would have been McDonald's.
That would have been McDonald's price.
Yeah. Also, Aylesford Priory is open all weekend, and there's no admission charge. The picnic areas are all are welcome, and you can come and discover the Friary. Hopefully, the weather will be good for that. Oh, we could do Arctic picnic,
yes,
couldn't we?
That's true. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have to worry about your ice cream melting anyway. You could take a whole tub and it'd just last all day, wouldn't it?
Based
on the pile of snow at the side of the road, still.
That is very true. Talking of ice cream, I don't know if you listened to Scoff and Quaff, the show before.
No,
us,
I saw Jules on her way out.
She's had an ice cream overdose. Tay Wells were on Tay Wells
they
ice creams.
Stayed. We don't have food on this show. Well, let's face it, I never did have food on this show.
No, well,
it's on all the other shows that I'm not on.
Yeah, well, that will be because Jules books the guests, and for
yes.
some bizarre reason, they are always food or drink related. I can't work it out.
Although these two have let me down. I remember we did have a guest once who bought us some chocolate, didn't they? Just randomly. They weren't like food
suppliers. It wasn't their business.
No,
they just
exactly.
felt so sorry for
exactly.
you.
I can't remember who it was now, but it was somebody really nice who bought us some minstrels or something.
Yeah, because we don't normally have people that are nice, do we?
Well, I don't know. They're not too bad, but I don't see any evidence of minstrels. So.
They've melted.
Yeah, yeah.
But not in the hand, eh?
Right. What free samples do you want from a dentist?
Oh, that's true. We've got a retired dentist. He's not going to bring us sweets, is he?
Yeah, no, toothbrushes. and Sensodyne. Sensodyne in those really tiny sample tubes. Yeah, and some TP sticks. That's what we need. Bring it on. I've got this that I want to bring to your attention. On Monday, the 18th of March, that's a couple of weeks ago, at the Ashford International Hotel, the CEOs of Thriving Youth Charities, CXK, that's formerly Connections Kent, mm-hmm. and KCFN presented their merger to staff and stakeholders. The event, hosted by afternoon drive time presenter Neil Kefford of Hart Kent, is that a radio station? saw evidence of the vital work both organisations do and showed how coming together would benefit young people. This event had an approach with a difference. Young people were on stage presenting the organisation's work, and both CEOs were interviewed by Neil and the young people. The organisation's services were showcased throughout the evening. CXK Limited is a charity which supports young people and adults to raise their aspirations and maximise their potential, in particular by helping them progress in education, employment and training. KCFN provides services to vulnerable, hard-to-reach young people. Additionally, they provide play activities, early intervention and disability services to children, a range of family and parenting services, as well as training and support for the children's workforce. Sean Kearns, who's the chief executive of CXK, said, "Combining forces allows us to build on our many already established and successful projects. We recently received some excellent feedback, showing that 90% of our stakeholders rated our service to vulnerable young people as excellent or good, 93% of young people rated our work with them as excellent or good, and 97% of parent and carers would use our service again." Mm. Can't be bad. Can't get much better than that, can you?
No.
"Our sector has faced major challenges, with many of our funders seeing their budgets cut, increased pressure to achieve more for less, and a move towards larger scale contracts, making it difficult for smaller organisations to compete against private sector organisations. The merger helps overcome these challenges whilst allowing both organisations to build on their successes and to ultimately help more young people." Stephen Bell, chief executive of KCFN, supported Sean's comments by saying, "Everyone benefits from this merger, and it's been done in such a way that enables us to retain all that is good about KCFN: innovative services, flexibility and adaptability to change. The merger event explained the partnership and how the two organisations will work together to deliver an enhanced service." So well done, guys. Well done for pulling that together and moving things forward for the young people of Kent. All power to you. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Bit of tunage.
I think we'll have a bit of tunage. What do you reckon? I got a bit of Paul Simon.
Oh, I like Paul Simon.
"Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes."
Lovely.
She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket. Empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. 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 She's crazy, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of your shoes. She was physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, "You've taken me for granted because I please you. Wearing these diamonds. And I could say, ooh, as if everybody knows what I'm talking about. As if everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about diamonds on the soles of her shoes."
She makes the sign of a teaspoon, he makes the sign of a wave. The poor boy changes clothes and puts on aftershave to compensate for his ordinary shoes. And she said, honey, take me dancing, but they ended up by sleeping in a doorway by the bodegas and the lights on over Broadway, wearing diamonds on the soles of their shoes. And I could say, ooh. And everybody here would know what I was talking about. I mean, everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about
the Business Bunker.
Hey, Paul Simon and Black Man Mamba are there with Diamonds on the Soles of Shoes. Eh?
What a
fantastic track.
Yeah.
Cool. Welcome back to the Business Bunker. You're listening to the Business Bunker with me, Paul Andrews, and the famous Joe Dodds, and a fantastic lineup of guests. We've got a gazillion tweets. We've got a million emails. We've got loads of things. But if you want to talk to us, we'd love to hear from you. You can tweet me by following me at VanillaWeb. You can call me on 01-303-874-998. Or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome to the show Mr. Joe Sullivan, dental surgeon, author, motivational speaker, businessman, entrepreneur, blimey.
Chair of Governors.
Chair of Governors of anything in particular?
Dover College.
Dover College.
Yeah.
I just wonder, you know, HM Prison, Shepway, Chair of Governors.
I'm sure he does lots of other things too.
Cool. Joe, welcome to the show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. We're probably going to need to move that microphone over a little bit. Just swing it towards you. That's perfect. Thank you. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you, Paul. It's really nice to be here.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. So tell us a little bit about you and your background. And you're a dental surgeon by training. Do you still practice, by the way?
No, I gave up full-time practice.
Oh, that's a shame, because I've got this. Oh, no.
I've been looking at that.
Yeah, people do.
I was just thinking, I'd be intrigued to hear what Jonathan would think of, or how you'd advise me about my lifestyle, because it sounds rather eclectic, really. But, I have quite a wide range of interests, but there is a theme to them all.
Isn't there? Oh, is there? I'd love to hear that.
You were wondering, weren't you?
No, but I love eclectic. I absolutely love eclectic, because without stealing your thunder, some time ago, I lecture occasionally at the university in Canterbury, and I was lecturing some business students on entrepreneurship and stuff like that. And somebody said to me, well, look, how'd you get started in this? And I said, well, first you get expelled from school. And all the lecturers said, oh, no, don't start that. And I, well, I'm sorry, they asked. I'm just telling you.
Is that implying that Joe got expelled from school? I'm sure he didn't.
He can't possibly have done. He's an eminent dental surgeon. That doesn't happen, does it, Joe?
They've let me back into Dover College.
So, tell us, I don't want to dwell too much, if you'll forgive me, on the dental surgery side of things, because it puts my teeth on edge. No.
Sorry.
What made you start to look at the things that you've been involved in since then?
Well, it's one thing grows out of another, really. After dentistry, I was practicing dentistry just in Folkestone here from the age of 24, actually. I had my own practice here. An old doctor, friend of the chap from whom I took over the practice, asked me to go and see some of his old people at home in their homes because they had agoraphobia or whatever. And I got an interest in looking after people as domiciliary care.
Right.
And from there came an interest in care of the elderly, because we're mainly elderly patients. So I then, over the years, we acquired a group of care homes looking after the elderly.
Right.
And out of that came the need to do a lot of development, property development, etc. So we acquired our own group of builders. And then we needed something to keep them occupied when they weren't working on their homes, so we got some property for them to develop.
I love this. I absolutely love this. I started looking after some people, so we bought a group of care homes, and then we needed to maintain them, so we bought a building company. You know, it's just so simple. Why didn't I think of that?
It's exactly how it happened. So one thing grew into another, and I also got involved in local politics. I was on the district council for a while. So,
right.
And I then got involved in dental politics. And I started, because I was always interested in writing, I started producing a magazine in dentistry. So,
okay.
But my area of interest was in self-development, in anxiety control, stress management, success.
Okay.
Is he one of these people who doesn't sleep? Can I just ask? Because it doesn't sound like he has any time to...
It's kind of overrated, isn't it?
But yeah. Sleep, who needs it's for wimps. Yeah.
Sorry, Paul, you were going to ask a question.
I was, and I've forgotten what it was now. No, Joe was talking about his interest in personal development and stress management and things like that. Is that something you developed while you were still practicing dentistry?
Because
it is something that can make people very nervous, some people.
Well, I suppose a dentist works with a group of very nervous people.
Yeah. So,
but also, I think having led a group of people, teams of people in various ways, I just got intrigued by motivation and about success and how success feels. Mm. And it's something I started to explore, so I started writing in that field. And so that's something I've taken forward now because, as Joe knows, I'm involved with internet marketing and affiliate marketing. And
as you would be, you know, just to fill in some gaps in the day.
Well, when you retire, you get kind of bored. And
retired? Oh, he's retired. Oh, okay. Well, that's good to hear. I thought you were a bit overdoing it a bit there, Jeff.
So therefore, I've combined the interest in writing and the interest in motivation, anxiety control, and incorporated with something new to learn, and that's been website design and internet marketing, and that takes 8 hours a day now.
Found yourself a new job.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right. As you describe the process, it although it's eclectic on the face of it, one thing leads to another.
It does.
Yeah,
and, it's a matter of having an open mind, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think... I've been lucky and that it's functioned well. I've enjoyed the business side of things, and that's very important. And I was saying to Jonathan earlier, I think one of the things about being an entrepreneur is you get bored easily, and you look to the next thing. And I need somebody running after me, picking up the paper all the time. And
yes, we all need that.
Yeah, when you find that person, I need to talk to them. No, you're absolutely right. So, out of all the things that you've done, has any one thing given you the most pleasure or the best return on what you've done? Not necessarily financially, but, you know, from a well-being point of view.
developing young people is something that I have a particular interest in, and I do get great satisfaction out of a team working and out of a business coming together. And managing a group of people, I think, is... And also, I was listening, as you were reading out there, the merger of these charitable groups. And something I got involved in just recently is young children, a group called the Change Project, which is in Folkestone, who help people who are about to be excluded from school or families who are having difficulties with young people. And this, I think, is the most rewarding thing you can do. Yeah. And I suppose this is my interest in Dover College as well, is... in once again developing young people on the other end of the spectrum, perhaps, but anticipating, visualizing where the world is going to go for them when the next cohort of kids leave school, because I don't think we've even imagined the jobs that some of them are going to work in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
And how we need to prepare them, what languages they're going to need to speak, what part of the world are they going to work in.
Yeah.
And also the fact they're probably going to live to 120, how are they going to manage their lives and their health and their social life.
You're scaring Jonathan now. He's pulling faces over there. Don't worry, we won't be around.
He's just imagining himself working in B&Q's aged 110.
I'm going into wheelchairs.
Exactly. Joe's probably already there. He's probably got his business plan sorted and everything.
So we're thinking about Dodsey's life here.
Absolutely. It's scary and also exciting at the same time. I think, you know, things are unfolding at the moment, and it looks pretty bleak out there, certainly from an economic point of view. But my take on this is that what we're going through is a period of destabilisation before we come out the other side of that in a new and different kind of way, whatever way that turns out. And it's a process you were describing earlier, Joe, that I really, really do think a lot of people don't understand, and the mind of an entrepreneur is particularly suited to it. But it's what I call an evolutionary process. You know, one thing leads to another. So many people get stuck in ruts of things, and even if they see an opportunity, they go, oh no, that's not me. Well, there are a few people on this planet that think, oh, I wonder what will happen if you push that. And then all of a sudden they're off in a completely different direction.
Exactly. I think even my internet marketing has opened my eyes a different way. I'm looking at the sides of trucks and saying, gosh, I wonder what's in there. Could I sell it? there's a new world out there suddenly.
Absolutely.
But I genuinely believe the world is teeming with opportunity.
Yeah.
And our towns are changing. Our towns, we were talking about John Barber earlier, but our town centres are going to change.
Yeah.
I saw the other day 14.5% of clothing is bought on the internet, but people still go into shops and touch it and feel it. How do we adapt shops to accommodate people going, touching and feeling, going home and buying? You know, can we have department stores called touch and feel, where people go and
absolutely. You know. Funnily enough, the Hunting Edge, who I was talking to there, they joined me and a few other people at Fruitworks in Canterbury a couple of weeks ago, and we just had a roundtable discussion about all the people there were involved in e-commerce. So online shops. But after an hour or so, we started talking about the high street and real shops again, even though we were all e-commerce providers, and people saying, we still need shops. We still need somewhere to go. It isn't just about selling online. That's okay, but it's only part of the story. And again, you know, the politicians and people going to meltdown about, you know, the end of the high street. But it's an evolutionary process. Mm-hmm. And as anybody will tell you, something's got to die to make space for something else. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. The longer they try to hold on to the past, the longer it's going to take to get to the future.
Mm.
And there is a future.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely convinced there's a future for the high street.
Mm-hmm.
Mm,
I agree.
The modern village is what, it has to be dreamt up yet. But
absolutely.
Towns like Folkestone, I think, need to look to evolve in that direction.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's making progress, Folkestone, without any shadow of a doubt. We're going to an event in a few weeks' time at the Creative Quarter there. Which should be interesting, which is Digital Kent.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things that you've got involved in, you're also a governor at a local school, I understand, Dover College, which I know quite well. Because my kids,
you beat them at football.
Because we smashed them at sports.
But you always had a really good, it was a really good testimonial to the previous headmaster, wasn't it, that he called out somebody from your team that had beaten them, didn't he?
He did indeed. He was very gracious, and he did a little eulogy on a certain person that had played for the opposition.
Paul's son. So he loved Dover College ever after, didn't he?
Yeah, and it was a very nice thing to do. And it's a very pleasant school, and always has been a very pleasant school, filled with very nice people.
Little Dodsey got up this morning knowing that Joe was coming on here, and she wrote a few little lines about the school because she's there. Would she be able to read them out?
Yeah, of course she can.
Although she did ask me first how many listeners we have, so I think she was working out whether it was worth bothering.
15 million, Ellie.
But now people have tweeted her, she knows that people are listening. So yeah. Here we go. This is all written, pre-written.
Actually, there's a lot more tweets for you as well here, Ellie, so which I'm going to read in a moment.
So you have to start here then, don't you?
You might need to push the microphone clear.
That's it. Here you go. So what does that say? Well, shall I read it out? It says, I love Dover College.
Ellie wrote this earlier, and I know she did because I saw her do it.
Exactly, we can see it here. So yeah. I've read the first one, you do the rest. Come on. Come on, we haven't got time for all this shyness. So what's that say? Quick!
I think it's the best school ever.
She thinks it's the best school ever.
She's a very clever girl.
Yeah.
Everyone's nice.
Everyone's nice. And what's the last one? Can I have a raise as the marketing manager for Dover College?
That doesn't really make sense.
It says it's so good, isn't it?
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense.
And how long have you been there?
4 years.
Four years. She was just three when she went there, and she loves it, don't you?
Fantastic. Thank you, Ellie. That was beautifully read. So, Joe, you've got a website. Give us a shout for the name of the website.
My website's called From Anxiety to Success.
Okay.
.co.uk.
Cool.
That isn't for dentistry, though, is it?
No, it's not.
Whip them out.
That would work too, but.
Yeah. Well, if you have anxiety or panic about the dentist,
you can help with that, can't you? Yeah.
Give us a brief overview of the kind of things you cover on the website and what people can expect to find there.
Well, I've got a lot of the motivational stuff that I've written, but I suppose my main area of interest are looking at stress, anxiety, and even success, happiness, depression, is looking at biochemistry, looking at how it's happening from inside, and the power of thought, which changes how you feel. If you think of something frightening, you change how you feel inside. And this is down to hormonal level, it's biochemistry. So, and I believe if people understand biochemistry and they understand how they can change and control their own biochemistry, then they'll understand how they can control how they feel. And be that through anxiety, which is something they've lost control of, so that the anxiety is, in the main, what people are bothered about is the feeling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rather than what they're worrying about.
Yeah.
And panic the same. And they say the cures come from just getting their head around that. They're more afraid about how it feels and how it might feel if they have another panic episode than what is causing the panic or what is causing the fear.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. A couple of weeks ago, I had a really bad night, and I was just up all night. I couldn't get to sleep. Something going over and over in my head. Mm-hmm. And about 4 a.m, I suddenly realised I didn't even know what it was I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what I was actually worried about.
Uh-huh.
It was just this constant feeling, as you say, of anxiety about something. And I couldn't even tell you what it was. It's ridiculous, really, isn't it?
Well, the solution to that is even at 4 a.m, to get up and write it down.
Right.
Because it has many effects. First of all, it helps you to clarify what you don't understand. Mm. But secondly, by reading it and by writing it, it changes the way the mind interprets it.
Right.
So that it changes the biochemical control of the event.
Cool.
Well, I've got an easier cure. When I don't sleep at night, I get up and do some push-ups.
All right, okay.
I'd get up and do some push-ups, go back to bed, and then I go to sleep because it changes your biochemistry once
again. Okay, all right.
It always works. Like whiskey, doesn't it?
It changes your biochemistry as well.
Yeah.
Far less effort.
So let me get this right. The advice is drink a bottle of whiskey while doing push-ups and writing it down.
Exactly.
That'll do it. That'll distract me, that's for sure. Cool. Joe, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. Please stay with us for the rest of the show and feel free to join in. Give us another shout for your website so people can go and have a look at this.
www.fromanxietytosuccess.co.uk.
fromanxietytosuccess.co.uk, all one word. There's a link on the Kent Business Radio website. Joe Sullivan, thank you very much for joining us on the Business Bunker. Absolute pleasure. Brilliant. I tell you what, I've got loads of tweets which I need to catch up on. If you could do some more news, yep, just while I sort these out.
Yep, okay. We've got the HR department presenting a free workshop called How to Manage Reorganisation and Redundancies. It's on Wednesday the 15th of May from 9 till 12 at the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre, Brunel Way in Dartford. Simon Morgan, Director of the HR Department, South East London and North Kent, will present this practical and interactive workshop. He'll provide guidance to help you manage reorganisation redundancies fairly and lawfully, and it'll include considering your options, understanding your legal obligations, staff consultation, selecting for redundancy, changing terms and conditions, varying contracts of employment and TUPE. And Simon will also provide a brief employment law update covering recent and proposed changes in employment law and recent relevant cases. Admission is free. That's a good deal. But places are limited. So email simon.morgan at HR department. So HRDEPT, HRDEPT.co.uk, or call 0845 634 9154. 0845 634 9154. And obviously that will be on the website later.
Brilliant, thank you for that. I've had a tweet from David Dadswell, who is listening to the show for the second week. He was a new listener that we acquired last week.
Is he the one who said it was good, especially last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he can, like, you know, I don't know, I guess.
No, that was someone else.
Moncton, somebody around.
Yeah, I'll do that in a minute. I'll do that. There's a reason.
You're building up to that one, are you?
No, I'm not up to that one. I've got 18 to get to before
sorry,
I get to that
sorry,
one.
I'm jumping in again, aren't
you
I?
You are, yeah.
I always put you off.
Joe Allstas, this listener. I start my tweets by reading from the oldest to the newest, and Joe just dives in at the top, which is why they're all
the ones I find most interesting.
Yeah, and which is why they're all out of sequence. And she goes, "You did what to your nose?"
And then you get annoyed. Oh, and then you repeat the ones I've read out, which tells me how much you listen to what I've just said.
You what? Sorry, who are you? Anyway, I was about to tell you that Mr. Dadswell has a website which is called Advise, ADIVISE, Advise Business Support, all one word, .co.uk, and they are freelance sales support, advertising, design and print people. So do check that out. I've also had Lee, who is known on Twitter as MDP_Lee, LEE, Washroom Advertising. Interesting one, I know. We have slots available. If you'd like to contact me, we can talk about it. So if you follow MDP_Lee on Twitter, you can talk about washroom advertising. Can't say further than that.
There you go. Is that the stuff that you read when you're sitting on the toilet? Or is that when you're drying your hands?
I don't know what you read. I wouldn't like to remotely speculate what you read while you're sitting on the toilet, Joe.
Another world.
Yeah, exactly.
Or is it when you dry your hands? I mean, I'm just checking. I like to, you know, get the detail of these things. Perhaps Lee could tweet as a reply. You can always rely on me. Absolutely. That's why he doesn't let me come very often. I'm only here like once every 6 weeks or so.
That's true. Felicity Dunderdale has said, Kent Women in Business Awards Thursday at the Great Danes, that's the McCure Hollingbourne these days, two surprise speakers.
Ooh,
hello.
Both from the world of TV.
Both from the world of TV, and we're very excited. Cool. We've had a new listener, Susie King, who's listening in, and Lenley's, Roper Road, Canterbury. Pop in, see our spring range wallpapers, curtains, blinds, rugs, all in Canterbury, free parking, Roper Road. So do pop along for that if you want some soft furnishings. The meerkat's been on, but I'm not doing that one. I don't like that meerkat.
Jules was telling them about the meerkat earlier.
That meerkat's evil. I just don't want anything to do with that 6 foot Australian meerkat. About directors. Hi, Paul. Please could you mention the workshop we are running on the 30th of April for any small business with staff? Thank you. And you can find out about that at aboutdirectors.co.uk. That's all one word, aboutdirectors.co.uk/business-seminars. So do check that out. We'll put a link to that later on the Business Bunker website so that you can follow up on that. And Angela Bryan Stevenson she said, oops, I meant hi, Paul and Joe. Presumably she said Paul and Jules earlier.
Well, I'm not even going to participate in this conversation then.
and she says hello to little Dodsey.
Hello.
Peter Wood is telling us that he's listening in again from Hawkeye.
Well, that was after we complained he didn't mention little Dodsey, but he has now, hasn't he?
Yep.
Oh, here you go. Hawkeye aerial cameras listening live again. Yeah, 2 weeks running. Ah, oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I've jumped in again, haven't I?
You have. You've been reading from the top of the sack again, Joe. I don't know. And Kevin Edmonds of DMS Graphics. Hi, Paul. DMS Graphics shouting out here. Free advice for anyone interested in exhibiting, been there, done it, and can get the T-shirt. And DMS Graphics, I believe, are supplying graphics to the Kent 2020, which is in a couple of weeks' time. So if you want to know anything about graphics, then contact Kevin Edmonds of DMS Graphics. You can follow him on Twitter at DMS Graphics, unsurprisingly.
There's a bit of an insult there for both of us, I think, from Elm Court Farm Market. But thank you. Little Dodsy was pleased.
Oh, at last a presenter that actually reads what's written down. Well done, Little Dodsy. Steve, that is very true. Yeah. We can't get the staff. We've turned to child labour here. It's the only way we can succeed.
And I read out the next tweet while the music was on about the waxing, thinking Ellie would be put off. And we said, oh, she wasn't listening anyway. She went, I was, Mummy. So she heard all about that one. So she'll be quizzing me about that later. And we had another question for Joe. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't got that far yet.
Sorry.
No. Give us a chance. Telcare has said, cool, Little Dodsy is getting an education. Think she'll be put off by waxing now.
See, case in point. Yeah. Okay, I'll stop speaking. Go on, you do them all.
No, it's fine. If we do them in the same sequence. Because I can't tell where you are in the list.
No, go on then.
I'm going to do Elm Court Farmers Market next.
You're funny. So what about Whitehead Monkton then? They're the ones who said last week was better.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because Whitehead Monkton were on the show last week.
That's why. I'll let you off then. You're right.
Yeah.
The show last week was obviously, you know, good with very good guests. But the ones today are good too.
Oh, don't go mad, Joe.
Well, they haven't finished yet. I haven't even heard from Jonathan, so, you know, come on.
Right, I'm gonna do some news here that we've got.
Can you just not go up three tweets? Can I read this out? Because it was a question for Joe.
Go on, then.
I thought before we move on, it says, The Hunting Edge are saying it would be interesting to hear Joe expand on the correlation between e-commerce and high street shops.
Go on, then.
That's what we were talking about earlier, wasn't it?
Yep.
Well, I think that what's happening is people are going into the high street shops to see the goods, to touch and feel and find out as much as they can about them, and then going home and buying them on the internet or shopping around to find the best price. Mm. I think that's part of the reason why Comet went out of business, because they didn't get an internet presence. So I think shops should turn their thinking to that, and how do they encourage people to come in, touch and feel, and then give them some kind of voucher or whatever that will... then they can go home and shop on the internet and turn to the shop's own website to make the purchase, perhaps. You know.
Absolutely.
Thinking has to change as to how we service the needs of the new generation of people. And that's really what it's all about. It's all about service, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, just some thoughts that I have about retail and e-commerce. There are interesting things that you can do, as Joe quite ably explained there, and it's very true. We all do it. We go into shops and try things on and try things out and look at things and then go home and buy them vastly cheaper on the internet. The way to handle those kind of things is that e-commerce people, their biggest problem is how to get website traffic. What they need to do is start doing deals with retailers that says, you know, instead of wasting hundreds of thousands of pounds advertising, pay-per-click advertising, what we'll do is we'll put stuff in your shop. If you direct people to our website, we'll give you a cut of what they buy, with discount codes and stuff like that.
Exactly. Isn't it also about experiences? Because people are still buying offline.
Of course they are.
And generally because of an experience. So, you know, artisan-type shops still get quite a lot of trade from what I can see. We had an example a couple of weeks ago. Little Dodsy and I went to the sewing space in Hythe and did a little workshop on a Saturday and made a rabbit for her new baby cousin. And we had a really nice time, and I couldn't get out of the shop without doubling the spend with all the flipping paraphernalia that Little Dodsy now wanted, because she's apparently so into sewing, although that lasted about an hour. And we have half finished. Oh, she's still into it, apparently. Apparently she is going to finish off that project. But, you know, we bought stuff because we were there and we could touch and feel it and we'd experienced it. Yeah. And although I can buy online and I probably could buy cheaper online, I'm not going to because I can still go in there and experience that really nice shopping environment sort of thing. So in some cases, it's about creating an experience. And another example, sorry to keep going on.
No, go.
Little Dodsy's favourite clothes shop, sadly, is Zara, although they do very good pricing for children, which must be a marketing ploy of theirs. So you can buy stuff there that's cheaper than supermarkets for children's clothes,
right,
of the posh stuff.
Right.
And she loves the experience. So we wouldn't buy it online for her because she wants to go in and try the clothes on and enjoy herself and everything else. And actually, it's cheap enough for us to buy it in there, if you see what I mean. So they're getting her now when she's only six. And then she'll be paying proper prices when she's an adult in the same shop, if you like, and still experiencing that, you know, environment. If
absolutely.
You like.
I mean, if anybody's out there and they want to know some ideas about how to regenerate the high street, it's actually quite simple. Apart from the obvious, where the one that the politicians all ignore, despite the hundreds of millions of pounds they fire hose at consultants to tell you, is, of course, if you ban cars from high streets, people won't go. That is so obvious, it's just unbelievably stupid. And then if you charge them a gazillion pounds to park there, they still won't go. Get over that and you might get somewhere. But in terms of the high street itself, the opportunity, as far as I'm concerned, is moving from big to small. The people that are suffering are high street multiples. Mm. And small artisan, local shops, I mean, Table Ice Cream, a local ice cream producer, were on Scoff and Quaff earlier, and Alistair, who's the chief executive, and I were discussing this. There is a massive market for that kind of thing, especially after the horse meat lasagna scandal. People are now really thinking about what they're buying and who they're buying it from, and the rise in local butchers over the last few months has been unbelievable. Yeah. Joe, you wanted to jump in there.
It's on another area of what I purchase, but all of my white goods I don't buy on the internet. I go to a small local store where I get a great service. The guy comes and fits it and et cetera. Mm. And particularly for my wife, when she's looking after some property and she wants to get some goods, and she gets the best advice, and so it's a small store that gives the service that is going to do the business.
Absolutely. I bought my white goods from Potter's in Tenterton High Street, and I went in there for exactly that reason. The service, they bought it, delivered it, and took away my old device, and I thought, trouble is, this is going to cost me. But when I looked, it wasn't that much more expensive. It was it was an order of like only 10 or 15 quid extra for all that personal service. Mm. So I haven't looked back.
Can I do a little shout out for and then Jonathan as well? I want somebody to come to my house and sort out some computer stuff for me. I don't want to send my computer somewhere else.
Yeah,
there must be somebody out there local Billy to
Dean.
Hythe. Billy Dean, will you come all the way to Hythe?
Yeah, of course you will. Billy, if you're listening, you got a customer. That's 20%
only. Doesn't he only do Mac? So I've got a Mac.
No, Billy does everything.
He does everything, does he?
Yeah, Billy's your man.
Wasn't Billy our lead role in that erotic fiction book as well?
I think he was.
Billy, you can come round to my house and sort my computers out.
Well remembered. And Billy, if she starts talking about reading stuff on the toilet, get out of there quick, mate. Just exit stage left.
Excellent. Jonathan, sorry, you were going to say something. I'll complete.
No, I just wanted to go further and expand on the whole high street thing, because I think Faversham, for example, is great because they've got lots of small businesses. They've got a couple of butchers, but just Tesco's up the road. But I think the small businesses need to collaborate together.
Yeah.
Because the disposable income for people is diminishing.
Mm.
So they're all fighting over a smaller pot of gold.
Yeah.
So if they get together and create more atmosphere in the high street,
absolutely,
and it starts to fulfil the prophecy, as it were.
Mm. Yeah. When I used to do the Hythe handbook, I used to get really frustrated because I used to think that the shops, and this is a sweeping statement, and I apologise to all the proactive shops in Hythe, but that they used to be like, we're on the high street with a front door and a window, so we don't need to do very much to market ourselves, and it used to frustrate me so much because until I did the handbook, I never used to go into town because I used to commute to London. So I didn't know what was there because I never went there. Once I knew what was there, I used to go a lot. But because they, don't always think outside of, the sort of, I've got a front window and therefore people are going to come in, they sometimes miss all of those opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for instance, Sevenoaks had a local traders loyalty scheme that was incredibly successful. Now, other people have tried it without so much success, but in Sevenoaks it worked really well. Mm. And a lot of that, I guess, is down to the motivation and the impetus behind it. Mm. And Roger Casper, who's the editor of the Sevenoaks Chronicle, was behind it. Well, Roger was behind it with some other people, and they put a lot of effort into getting it some publicity, and it worked incredibly well for Sevenoaks. Other people have tried similar things, and it hasn't worked so well for them. Mm. But, you know, it doesn't really... It's not... Jonathan's absolutely right. It isn't actually intrinsically what you do. Mm. It's the fact that you do something, and you try and do something together. You know, if you look at my local town where I live, fortunately, is Tenterton. Mm. And Tenterton's an absolute model of what current retail should be. Mm-hmm. It's a street full of independent shops.
Mm-hmm. but working together.
But yes. Working together. Yeah. And they have events... There are all kinds of events in Tenterton that bring people into the town, yeah. Who then discover the shops for the first time, who shop in them. Everything's supported by the traders in the town. We have farmers markets, we have Tentertainment, which is one of the usual things they have. We even have Morris dancers with their bells and sticks and all that kind of nonsense, which is a bit of a nuisance for some of us. But you know, there are always things going on. It's always supported by a majority of the retailers in the town, and it makes such a big difference. Yeah, absolutely right.
It's also about things feeling sort of special. I mean, I went into Dobby's, not the one where our listener's from. Where's he from?
Kevin is from Gillingham.
Gillingham, yeah. There's one in Ashford, and I was there for a meeting, and I came out of the shop via the food section and ended up buying quite a lot of meat from a very jolly, friendly butcher. And I then spent however long convincing Dodsey that it was a good deal, and he kept working it out, comparing it to what we'd normally would have paid. And it wasn't loads more. But it didn't feel like I'd spent more because of the experience that I'd had and the quality of the meat that I ended up with and so on. And yet I wouldn't have spent that in the supermarket. I know I wouldn't. I'd have looked at it all and thought, well, that's quite a lot of money. I don't think I need quite that much meat today, thank you very much. But because of the experience, I did spend it, and I actually felt like it was good value. And it's sort of that, you're saying the you know, our purses are getting smaller, you know, there's less money to spend. I think actually if you package it in the right way, people will still spend the money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a very big role for landlords in the high street as well that is not recognised, and I don't think they really take responsibility, first of all, in maintaining the appearance of properties that may be closed, but secondly, to be involved in whatever activities are used to keep the business in the high street.
Absolutely.
Because after all, they're the ones who are going to benefit from it as well.
Absolutely.
And looking at a number of our high streets, the quality of the empty property is so poor that, first of all, it won't attract a tenant, but it does detract from the street. But they should actively be involved in investing in the footfall in the high streets.
Absolutely.
To actually keep their own income, because
absolutely,
a lot of people depending on income from shops that they're not getting.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah, it's to their own advantage to do that, but so many don't, as you say, which is a shame. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm aware that time is flying by, and we've got another guest to talk to, and we've got a gazillion tweets and a million emails and all kinds of things. I just wanted to mention this. Bluefield Wardrobes. Would be great if you can mention the Henry V at Faversham. That's Henry V. Faversham, and that's a Twitter handle as well. Henry V. Faversham, Henry V. Faversham event. Shakespeare in a Day on the 15th of June. See website for more info. But they haven't given us the website. So if you follow Henry V at Faversham, you will probably find out. When and if I do find out the website, I will put it on the Business Bunker so that you could follow that up. Blimey, I'm going to do this email now as well. It's from Tomorrow's People, because we were talking earlier about young people's charity, and Tomorrow's People are great ones for supporting young people into the world of work. Our Getting Families Ready for Work project in Parkwood in Maidstone has an extension until the end of July. This will hopefully give us time we need to secure the funding we require to carry on for the next 3 years. To benefit our clients, our project is in need of direct support from the employers of Maidstone, both small and large. With the large number of unemployed people who are supporting to find employment, combined with large number of unemployed people in Maidstone, this makes the competition for sourcing very difficult. Tomorrow's People's aim in Maidstone is to bridge the gap between this for our clients. Below you will find an outline of what we require, how we will be giving value to our relationship, and what we need from you. So if you are a business, small or large, in Maidstone, and you want to support the Tomorrow's People charity, you can do that by advertising vacancies free of charge for local job seekers. They will support you with any stage of the application process if required, including offering interview space. You can have ongoing support as clients move into employment with you to ensure there's a positive progression. They have opportunities including work experience, apprenticeships and other vacancies, and support for your company, including information about funding to support you financially to take on new apprentices. So if you're looking to employ people on a trainee, internship, work experience, apprenticeship, or any other basis, and you'd like to work with Tomorrow's People, you need to contact Alec Mohun-Smith, and his email is AMOHUN-Smith. I'll give you that again, AMOHUN-Smith at Tomorrow's People. That's tomorrows-people.co.uk. Or you can find out all about it on their website, which is www.tomorrows-people.co.uk. I think what we'll do now is we'll have a bit more tunage, and then we'll speak to our next guest. What do you reckon?
Sounds like a good plan.
Do you believe?
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, meant for someone else but not for me. Our love was out to get me, that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. I thought love was more or less a given thing. It seems the more I gave, the less I got. What's the use in trying when all you get is pain? When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Yes, I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Temp Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Hey, welcome back. I'm a believer in the Monkees. I've had Lee back on about the bloke with his nose. That's just good.
Apparently the answer was yes, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Right.
And apparently it didn't hurt. Oh, yeah, she says. And apparently the air in Folkestone smells better now as well.
It didn't hurt. He must have, his eyes must have watered.
Yeah,
surely.
I do not believe that at all. That's just that's marketing gone mad, isn't it?
Unless you've got no whatever's in your nose.
Yeah, unless it wasn't his nose.
Well, anyway. Yeah, it could have been that too.
Yeah, that's terrible. Anyway, look. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome our second guest to the show, Mr. Jonathan Marsh of Jonathan Marsh Consulting. Jonathan, welcome to the Business Bunker.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Jonathan, well, and Joe, actually, you, all three of you were all due on 2 weeks ago, weren't
we
you? When we had the large dump of snow. And Jonathan made it all the way from Scotland to Kent, and then we wouldn't let him come the last few miles because he couldn't get here. But but you're here now, and that's the main thing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Jonathan and Jonathan Marsh Consulting?
So, I'm a business consultant. I have worked in the city for, 25 years in investment banking, both in the city and out in Asia. And in 2005, I decided it was time to set up on my own and use the skills and experiences that I'd got working in the city to help small businesses, medium businesses in Kent. And I guess the way I describe myself, you guys have been talking about entrepreneurship. Well, I'm the guy that comes in and catches all the balls and controls it and puts discipline into the business so that...
And makes it actually work.
Makes it actually work. So, yeah. I go under the title of a chief operating officer, but I do that for a number of businesses, so that...
I have to tell you, listener, while Joe and I were waxing lyrical about being entrepreneurs and finding loads of clever ideas and doing things, and we were both saying we need someone to actually organise us, Jonathan was
He's
just sitting
the man,
there
isn't
nodding sagely going, yeah, that's what I do.
Well, someone has to do it.
Absolutely.
I work on the principle that a business has three legs. One, you don't have a business if you don't have customers. Mm. You've got to have knowledge to be able to run the business, and that's knowledge about customers, suppliers, competitors. Mm. But at the end of the day, that all needs to be brought together, and you've got to have disciplines to make it run smoothly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether that's down to the accounting systems or just making sure your diaries are being looked after and everything. So Richard Branson wouldn't be where he is if he didn't have people coming in.
No, that's absolutely true.
Picking up the pieces for him.
It's absolutely true. Never a truer word spoken at the moment as well in my business world. I'm desperately in need of some picking up some pieces. Okay, so tell me again, Jonathan, how long have you been doing your own business?
So, since 2005.
Okay.
So last 6-7 years, so yeah.
Okay.
Before that, I was basically running investment banks from an operational point of view.
Okay. So your background is in operational and...
Operations. I'm a qualified accountant, chartered accountant.
Right, okay.
So I look at everything from front office trading systems all the way through to picking up and making sure transactions work. But I don't do HR.
Okay.
That's always been the
HR people are notoriously weird.
Yes,
they are.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Or compliance, because you have to be kind of good to do that.
Yeah. You have to be guilt-free.
But everything else.
Right.
And as I say, I help small businesses get some discipline into their business and help them move their businesses forward.
So, and do you work with any particular type of business? Do IG specialise in business sectors, or is it across the board?
No. I say to people, as a chartered accountant and an ex-auditor, I've seen a whole range of businesses.
Mm.
The fact that I spent so much time in the city doesn't preclude me from looking at any business, because at the end of the day, they're all process-driven and... Mm. All businesses have the same processes and need the same processes.
Yeah.
They're just slightly larger in the bigger companies to the smaller companies.
Right. Do you predominantly work with larger companies, or is it a mix? Or
small, medium. Yeah, I think one of the challenges we've got in Kent is we have, 60,000 small businesses?
Indeed, we do.
And there's a lot of people out there who are... They've got their nose against the coalface, basically.
Mm.
And what I try and do is pull them away from the coalface, look at the overall kind of view of the company, and work out how best to take it forward.
Mm.
I don't profess to be the person who's going to do everything. I will do what I can do, but I bring in subject matter experts, when the case is required.
Absolutely. I mean, it is something that even I am starting to try and come to grips with now. I operate as a business angel investor, and one of my big frustrations is dealing with people with their primarily technology, because that's what I'm involved in, and their technology-based businesses. They're very keen on developing the geeky side of stuff, but the business processes, they go, yeah, we'll do that sometime. And I've learned now through bitter experience myself, even though I was like that myself when I was younger, through bitter experience, if you don't get those processes in place up front, you're in big trouble.
No, well, exactly. And I think the key to all the businesses that I come across is the lack of thought in terms of business planning and structuring. And these days, there's so many people looking for finance. You know, people at the banks, etc., need good business plans to read before, and the thought processes that go through to challenging those business plans. So it's all very well coming up with an idea, but is it actually going to work in practice?
Absolutely. Don't even get me started on that. So many people bring me plans, and you go, how are you going to make money out of this? And they go, well, Google will buy us. cunning plan. Although, I don't know if you've heard about this young lad today, a 17-year-old lad that allegedly has sold his app company to Yahoo for 20 million quid. And when I first read it, I've seen the app, and it's a clever app.
What's it do?
It prices news sites. So basically, you set up the kind of things you're interested in, then it will give you an overview of the topic from a news site.
What's it called, the app?
I can't remember.
Sumbly.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Is it something that might be used now that Google Reader's going? Is that why it's suddenly become
It is. There are other products on the market.
Yes, Oh, you sound so BBC.
I know, but the BBC don't, you know, I don't want to knock the lad because, you know, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But there's some really dodgy things being said about this, and I'm not entirely convinced. And one of the things that bothers me is a lot of people think, oh, I could do that. I could invent an app and sell it for 20 million. No, you can't. Mm. You can't.
You only need to go on the App Store, don't you, and just see what's out there.
Yeah.
And there's no way anyone can have 10% of all those on your phone or whatever.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So, from your point of view, Jonathan, are there perennial mistakes that especially small businesses make that where you think, oh, here we go again, same old, same old?
Yeah, there are. And I think it's, as I intimated earlier, I think it starts right at the beginning where people start a business, but they haven't really thought through the whole business plan concept and set goals for the medium, short to medium term. More importantly, is they write a business plan, they go off to the banks with it, but then they never refer to it when they come back.
Mm.
And it just sits on the shelf gathering dust.
Mm.
You know, a business plan is a one sheet of paper that you can refer to whenever you need to, just to make sure you're on target, your assumptions are still valid, and that you can adapt as circumstances change. Mm. You know, people find it very difficult when some of these economic circumstances happen to adapt their business for what's happening.
Absolutely.
And as technology's moving faster and faster forward, they're not keeping up to date with what's going on there, and therefore their business models aren't adapting either.
Yeah, absolutely.
My belief is that all comes back to the discipline of running the business yourself. And it's all very well having the entrepreneurs going out and building the ideas, etc., but as I said, you've got to bring it down and make sure it's in a controlled environment.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet here from The Hunting Edge specifically about what you were just saying earlier. It says, does Jonathan prioritise the key disciplines in a specific order?
No.
There you go. No.
Next.
No, random.
I am not. I won't get into the discussion of big management consulting firms and things that run by procedures and models.
Mm.
I start talking to the company first, understanding how they're made up, the drivers behind the individuals involved, and come up with solutions that fit those companies.
Mm.
Therefore, prioritising the disciplines now doesn't make a great deal of sense until you've had those conversations. Obviously, there's basics like you must have management accounts that tell you what's happening in the company, not what's happened in the past,
yeah,
but what's going to happen in the future. And they need to be kind of presented in time for you to make a decision. Lots of companies out there, they run their management accounts once a year.
I was smiling at you because I was just going to say, I was dealing with someone the other day and I said, can I have the management accounts? And they went, it's not that time of year yet. And
yeah. So how can you possibly be running a company effectively if you haven't got the information?
Absolutely. And sorry, I'm on a soapbox with this. And people that know me look at me and go, that's you saying that. But it is because I've just learned through bitter experience. It's absolutely... absolutely vital that you know how your business is performing. And in this day and age, it's not difficult. Everybody uses computerized accounts. You only got to press one button to get a P&L and a balance sheet at the end of each month. It is not difficult.
No.
Absolutely.
But it's the cash flows going forward.
Yeah.
Which, again, as you say, people press the button, they get the historic information out, but they don't have the projections going forward. So I always encourage people look at where things, because you can then start making decisions about what's needed next.
Absolutely. Look, we could talk about this for a long time, and obviously it's creating a lot of interest out there. Unfortunately, we're fast running out of time. We've only got a few minutes left.
I told you it'd be a fast hour and a half, didn't it?
it goes so quickly, especially when we're talking about something that's really cool and interesting and generates a lot of feedback that these subjects are. Give us a shout for your website, Jonathan.
It's jonathan-marsh.co.uk.
And that link is on the Business Bunker website. You're also on Twitter, aren't you?
I am. I'm JMC_Southeast.
Cool. So people can follow you on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or you can look at his website, or you can do both. For the moment, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Just so if people go on the website, there are articles that I've written and the newsletters and things. So
okay, cool.
Gives a better idea of what I'm on about.
Brilliant. And if you like, we can take some of those blogs and put them on the Bunker site as well and interlink the two. So we'll certainly do that. But stay with us for the last 5 or 10 minutes of the show. Feel free to join in. But for the moment, Jonathan Marsh, Jonathan Marsh Consulting, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant.
Doesn't Jonathan have a namesake at Google?
Yes.
Wasn't his name Jonathan Marsh? Wasn't it
Jeremy Marsh?
Don't know. I think it might be the retail Google
there
person.
There are a few Jonathan Marshes around.
I was going to say
this is the one and only,
looking as me.
That's what we were going to say.
I was going to say there's a lot of Marsh around here.
Hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious. In other news, this Thursday at Linley's, Roper Road, Canterbury, from 10 a.m. to 12, is the Kent Business Tweet Up, and their guest speaker is Trish Stretton, who on Twitter is @PeopleFace2Face, people face to face. So get along to that if you like. I haven't been to a Tweet Up for a little while because I've been really, really busy. But the Kent Business Tweet Up at Roper Road Linney's is always a cracker.
Cool. Lisa Settle says, snazzy tights, Paul.
Thank you, Lisa. Pleasure. Any particular reason I've got snazzy tights?
She's seen the picture of little Dodsy under your desk.
She's seen the picture of little Dodsy being my footstool.
With her snazzy leggings on. Yeah. That's right, exactly. Oh, look at your lovely hair. Ellie's got something to read.
Go for it.
Go. Hagland.
Hagland Village. Vintage Week, 6th, 7th, April, 10th.
10 till 6.
10 till 6
Saturday, on Saturday.
10 till 4 on Sunday. Free entry. Vintage
clothing stores.
Classic cares.
Cars.
Vintage military.
Vehicles.
Music swing and
Lindy Hop reenactors.
Saturday night.
1940s dance. So it's a vintage weekend, the 6th and 7th of April. And if you're interested, you can phone
01303 874727
or
www.hagelands.com. Hagrensvillage.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ellie.
Well done.
Hagrensvillage.co.uk. There's loads of things happening at Hagrens over the next couple of weeks. There's some tasting menus next door at the bistro
yes,
soon
had
on
the
30th.
Yes, you had the list of those, didn't you? Yeah, exactly. Yep. Lovely food.
And that sounds really nice. Right, we're fast running out of time, so yep. I'm going to flash through a load of these because some of them are quite date sensitive.
Thursday the 28th, is that this week?
Yeah.
Thursday, yeah.
Yep.
Muesli Mafia and Maidstone networking breakfast at the Great Danes from 7:30 in the morning, £20 plus VAT. Email Marilyn at jfsconsultingltd.co.uk if you'd like to go. And there's a LinkedIn group called Muesli Mafia networking events.
I always wanted to introduce the Muesli Mafia to the ladies, what latte, so that they could have a full breakfast. But the, Zoe Cairns Social Media, Zoe ZC Social Media Academy have two dates and two venues, Chatham and Faversham. We are pleased to announce we have two dates for the ZC Social Media Academy, 10th of April, 4 to 6:30 p.m. in Chatham, Kent, and to 24th of April, 4 to 6:30 in Faversham, Kent. you can, there's two websites where you can find out about this, which is ZC Social Media Academy, april.eventbrite.co.uk or ZC Social Media Academy Faversham.eventbrite.co.uk. We'll put links to those on the website. Come along to our monthly meeting and learn new updates and cutting edge information about social media and the online digital world with a guest speaker from the digital sector and Zoe's social media expertise. Take away the latest invaluable information and immediately for your online marketing. And bring plenty of business cards as there's lots of networking opportunities and it includes tea and coffee.
Excellent. I've just had something from Joe, which is about the charity shop for, is it Changing Room?
Yeah, it's for the Change Project, and Liz Gibbons runs this. I'm going to go and see her later, but she could do it with a lot of support in her charity shop to support this very good endeavour. And I think she's a little quiet at the moment because it's the bad weather, etc.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely.
The Bouverie Road in Folkestone.
It is indeed. I think the main beneficiary from some of these shops is the landlord, unfortunately.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
Lots of support.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So that's Bouverie Road in Folkestone, yeah. And the charity shop. Get down there, buy loads of stuff. That's
or,
an order.
Or take stuff. Has she got stuff to? Does she want stuff as well? Yeah, that's good.
All right. Empty your house. Take it down to Bouverie Road in Folkestone, and then buy it back.
Oh, I'd love to do the first bit. I'm trying to declutter, but I don't want to buy it back. Can I just say that Asda in Chatham have donated 106 Easter gifts to Amherst Court, which is an Avanti Care and Support Centre. Asda Provisions Manager handed over all the eggs to the staff to give to their residents. So
brilliant.
That's cool.
Tickets are on sale for the Cancer Research UK Summer Lunch. The tickets are now available for the annual Crowborough Committee of Cancer Research Summer Lunch being held at the East Sussex National Golf Resort and Spa on Wednesday the 12th of June. Last year, 250 people attended the event, which raised £5,000 for the Cancer Research UK charity. The Crowborough Committee, or CRUK, was formed 25 years ago, and in that time it has raised more than a quarter of a million smackers. £250,000. The summer lunch will begin with welcome drinks sponsored once again by the Upfield-based accountancy firm Armida. The charity event has the support of a number of other companies, including Dawson Hart, the tea and coffee sponsor, WPA, the speaker sponsor, David Haskell, the print sponsor, Yes Promo Products, the balloon sponsor, and the Marketing Eye, who are the marketing sponsor, plus David Bartholomew, photographer, Handels Banken, Waitrose Crowborough, ASP, Towery, Swindles, Tesser & Jones, Simon Gainsford, EM Communications, TR Fastenings, the Health Insurance Specialist and Sussex Medical Services. The two-course lunch will be followed by a talk by Dr. Helfred Hokegger, a CRUK researcher working for Cancer Research UK Brighton Labs at the University of Sussex. Tickets cost £28. If you'd like to know more about it, you can email Angela at themarketingeye.com or you can call her on 01825 765 617.
We've got a Brownies lunch meeting on Thursday the 28th from 12 till 2:30, £15 a person. East Kent FSB welcome you to the next Brownies networking event to be held in the middle of the day in place of the usual breakfast. Break up your day and have a two-course lunch and sample some gorgeous homemade brownies and network with like-minded people.
Is that with a gorgeously tall Janice?
I would guess it is because it's brownies, but it is an FSB thing, I think.
Yeah.
But it's got a very random link to go to it. It's the HTTP nothing, and right. then 090413nkclinic.eventbrite.com.
You heard it here, folks. The digital guru of Kent thinks there's an HTTP thingy. Top guru in there.
I like to simplify these things so people feel that they're accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
It's one of my USPs.
You didn't want to feel superior in any way.
No, exactly. I don't want to sound too technical. It puts people off.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Dear Paul, after the success of the last seminar on Thursday the 10th of January, we're running this again. I would like to invite you and the listeners to try something completely different and free. Something so powerful that it will totally change the way you think about business. My Millionaire Mindset seminars are exactly that. What I can promise you is that each day you'll learn powerful strategies that will have a huge impact on your business. Mindset is everything, and anyone can change their mindset at any age or at any stage in their life. Yeah, you just do push-ups and drink scotch. We discussed that earlier, didn't we? Yeah.
And write it down. Don't forget Joe's bit.
And write it down, yeah. If you don't, but you don't want to spill it while you're doing it. If you don't have the right mindset, you'll never achieve the success that you really want. So book your place now on one of our free taster events at Larkfield Priory Hotel on Friday the 26th of April at either 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. or 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. or 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Whether you're a small business owner or manager in a larger business, you'll benefit from attending the Millionaire Mindset Seminars. And that's Ash Lawrence of Changing Minds. And you can see Ash's website at www.ashlawrence.co.uk. Or you can ring him on Maidstone 01622 232 707.
We should do some analysis on how quick we speak at the end. I've got some Ken and Victor Chamber After Hours Club. I'll read most of it. Ellie's going to do one line. This free, popular and highly successful casual networking event is coming to a venue near you.
The informal...
Informal... Atmosphere, that's too hard. And relaxed...
environment is the ideal place to relax and chat to...
Fellow
business people, we will be on hard
hand
to make
initial introductions
of you
if you're new to the event.
Point you strange to
very well point you straight towards new business for your company. So we've got Ashford, the Conningbrook Hotel, on the 2nd of April. We've got Dartford, the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre, on the 2nd of April. And is it the 26th of March today? There's one in Maidstone at the Russell Hotel. And then on the 9th of April, Tunbridge at the River Centre. So that's the After Hours Club.
Brilliant. Thank you for that, Joe. Thank you for that, Ellie. That is beautifully read as normal.
I've actually got environment, but not the shorter words.
We don't want to bother with the short stuff. Everybody knows that, don't they, Ellie? It's the big stuff that people want. You pull out the big guns, all the ands and buts and ifs and nays and well, who cares? You just fill in your own with those. All we need is big stuff. We've had a few more tweets about our discussion earlier about the high street. Elmcourt Farmers Market, Steve Wood, has said, e-commerce and the high street, businesses should look at Marks and Spencer's. They seem to be getting it right. And, of course, as Mark Smith of the Whitstable Stove Shop reminds us, quite rightly, don't forget Whitstable, the most diverse high street in the country. And absolutely. Mm. Funnily enough, in Kent, we have three or four high streets that are really thriving. Mm. And then we have high streets like Margate that aren't. Mm. And really, all you need to do is look at the ones that are and copy them. It's, not incredibly that difficult. And I think it was Joe that said it, reinforced by Jonathan. The big issue
pointing
here,
at the other Joe, by the way, it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't.
I don't say profound things, do I?
No. You get stuck on HTTPS and all that nonsense. As Joe Sullivan was saying, it's about community. It's about pulling it together and doing it. And those high streets that are failing tend to, on the whole, not have much of a sense of community amongst what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's the big issue, isn't it? Mm-hmm. As far as I can see. But cool. Listen, we're just about at the end of the show. There's very little time left. Have you got much to read out there?
I've got tons, but they're not time sensitive now. There's later.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll read those next week, the ones that you've got left. We've still got a few tweets that I need to read out, but we're just not going to get the time to do it now. So I think it's about time that we said thank you very much to our guests for today. It's been an absolute pleasure to welcome Mr. Joe Sullivan and Jonathan Marsh to the Business Bunker. Thank you very much. It's been really tremendous to see little Ellie. Little Dodsey. He's been an absolute superstar. Thank you. No, it's an absolute pleasure, sweetheart. It's been great to have you on. Enjoy the rest of your Easter. Thank you for listening to the Business Bunker Show. We will be back with you next week with another show. Enjoy your Easter break in the meantime, and we will see you all soon.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. Hanging on the promises and the songs of yesterday.